Well, good morning. Good to be with you. This is our last Sunday of 2023. And for some of you, you might be going, I am so glad that 2023 is over. It's been a rough run. And others are maybe in a different category going, man, I want to cherish every moment, these last hours of 2023. And the reality is 2024 is going to happen whether we like it or not. And we're going to hit this new year, and it's filled with possibilities. It's filled with also uncertainty. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we get there, let's just pray. Father, we come and we just worship you. We're just thankful that this year and last year, and doesn't matter what year it is, you're always with us and you care about us and you love us. And we ask that as we open your word today, that we would just enter into a place where we can receive from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jen, before we had kids, she worked for a marketing firm out of New York, and she would often go out there, and we were living in Minneapolis, and she would fly out there, and I would go with her. And I like New York City. There's hustle and there's bustle, and it's just a good time. And then we would often extend the stay. She'd work for a few days, and then we'd extend the stay and stay in the city and just enjoy it. Well, this particular time, we are on our way back, and so we had gotten to the airport, and I love flying. I don't know about you guys. I love it. There's something just amazing about it. I love all the people. I don't mind taking off my belt and my shoes and going through all the security. It's just fun watching people, and then you get to different stages, right? You're waiting, and you get to go, and you wait there, and you watch people, and you wait for your time to get on the plane. You get on the plane. And you get to your seat and you have your luggage up above you, and then you sit down, and then you wait again. And there's a lot of waiting in the midst of it, I admit that. And then all of a sudden, it's your turn. And they come on and they tell you you're about to take off, and you have the stewardess. They tell you like 500 times how to put your seatbelt on. And then they come and they check your seatbelt. And then they make you sure you have it, and they tell you to put things away. And then in the whole experience, I don't even mind that they're telling me these things, right? And all through the flight, they're telling you stuff to do. And it kind of feels like a little bit like you're in first grade, but I kind of like that because there's snack time. And on the plane, I enjoy the whole experience. Well, this particular time, we're going up. The engines roar. We get up. We get going. And it's about a 2.5 hour flight from New York City to Minneapolis. And everything is going well. The seatbelt sign has just gone off. And the captain has come on, said we're flying at 32,000 feet. And you are free to move about the cabin. And all is well. And then there was this moment, about an hour and a half into the flight, where it wasn't okay anymore. And you had the beep, 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 you know, of the seatbelt sign going on. It's blinking at you, and the captain comes on, and he says, there's going to be some turbulence. Put your seatbelts on and stay seated. Well, this is turbulence like I've never, I'm not talking like a little bumpy road type thing. We've all experienced that. This is like drops. We're up there, and all of a sudden, whoosh, we just drop. And I'm going, okay, we're going to crash. There's this moment of uncertainty in our minds. What happens in uncertainty is we go, maybe this is how we're going to die, right? Like that's what you kind of go to right away. And then I started thinking, well, if we crash and we survive and we have to get out of this thing, I wasn't listening to the teacher of where the exit signs are. So now I'm looking where the exit signs are and I'm going over scenarios in my head. Well, that guy's like a lead blocker in front of me. I'm getting behind him and we're going. And like all of these things are kind of flying through your brain. And this is not like turbulence. Again, this is not like turbulence like that I've ever experienced before. This snack cart is jumping up and down. That's how bad it was. And so people are, you know, grabbing the seat. The lady next to me, Jen wasn't sitting by me. She was over a ways. We couldn't get seats next to me. She's eating her peanuts like it's her last meal. This is what's happening at this point. But the reality is, it took about 10 minutes. We made it through. And then the seatbelt sign went off again. And the captain came on and said, hey, It's going to be smooth sailing from here right into Minneapolis. We'll be there in about an hour, and everything was fine. You know, life is kind of like that, isn't it? We go through and we have these takeoff moments and we get cruising along and all is well. And then the seatbelt sign comes on, the captain comes on, and uncertainty hits us in that moment. Well, what do we do in the midst of this uncertainty? What do we do in the midst of this life where all of us have these moments where turbulence is there, seatbelt sign comes on, and we have to deal with it? The Apostle Paul kind of talks about this. He kind of walks through this with us. And he tries to help us to make us understand that in our uncertainty, what it pushes us to is the realization that we are weak and vulnerable, yet he is strong. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to go here real quickly to 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 and 9. And we're just going to take a look at this outside help of how, what do we do in the midst of this? He says this, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. The exact nature of what this thorn is, or this thing that he's pleading to take away, is not really known. Most scholars believe it's a sickness. I was reading this, one scholar said it was a woman. And he said that Paul was asking to take this woman away. I don't think that the scriptures tell us that this is true, but you can imagine just kind of how that got there. Maybe he had, you know, this relationship that he really loved this woman and she didn't love him back. Maybe it was like her daddy said, hey, you're a Christian, not a Jew anymore, and I'm done with you. Like, you can imagine it. The text doesn't support that, I don't believe. I think that there's something else. There's some type of sickness that is going on in his life. And he says, hey, God, would you take this away from me? Would you take this uncertainty away from me? Would you take this place and this moment away from me? And yet God says to him, this is what he says. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And there's something there that we need to see, that we are weak and yet he is strong. Something that we have to understand in the midst of this is when we understand this, we go and we run to him. We run to the source that can actually help us. Paul, he encourages us to do something in the midst of this. Paul encourages us to verbalize where we are and verbalize, like, hey, he's pleading with God, going, man, this is where I'm at, God. Would you help me in the midst of this? And he helps them to understand, or helps us to understand, that we need God. As followers of Jesus, we have to get better at living in uncertainty, because the world in which we live is uncertain. I was watching this interview with this person who was a Middle Easterner. And just different cultures, right? Very different cultures. And in the midst of this, the person said something very fascinating to me. He said, you Americans have hope and believe that everything is supposed to be okay. We don't have that same hope because life is so uncertain for us. And so we live life differently. And they live in a different way, in a different uncertainty than we do. The Bible never says that God's going to take all our uncertainty away, but he says he's going to be there for us, and his grace is sufficient for us. And so we run to God in the midst of this. Before we got on that plane, We had to take a bus, Jen and I did, to the airport. And I remember taking that bus, and it wasn't, you know, it was like, not very far that we had to go, but you had to kind of cruise through the city a little bit to get to the airport. And I was trying to, we could see the skyline. I was trying to imagine where the Twin Towers were in the midst of this. You've seen it in photographs, and you've seen it in all of these, you know, if you've watched the TV program pre-9/11, it's there. And I was trying to imagine, like, where are these things? Where would these things be? Where would it fit into the skyline? And as I was doing that, I thought, this is really not a smart thing to do right before you get in a plane, right? Like, to think about this tragedy. But it reminded me of something, that the world is really an uncertain place. The world's just uncertain, and it's just what we live in. As I sat there on the bus, I was reminded how unpredictable life is. And even though, you know, we probably lived well in 2023, there's no guarantee in 2024. My seatbelt of good living doesn't make me in control. And when you're flying, I think that's one of the biggest things that bothers most people, is that you're not in control, right? Like, you're not the one flying. I don't think I should be one flying the plane, but there's this uncertainty about who is piloting that plane. I don't really ever think about, oh, is this the moment I'm going to die if I'm driving somewhere? Even though it's like 200 times more likely that I would die in a car crash than in a plane crash, right? It's just the reality of it. But the reason I don't think that way, because I feel like I have some ability to control the situation. And the scriptures talk about this. It talks about the uncertainty of life. And it talks about that we are not really in control. We're not really in control. Uncertainty forces us to recognize that we're not in control. Most of what we're given in the scripture was written in an environment of uncertainty. It's an environment of uncertainty. It's not just like this feel good, everything works out, everything's great. There's all of these stories, all of these narratives of people's lives that were filled with uncertainty, yet God was in the midst of these things. God shows up in the midst of this. Take Joseph. Joseph, he's going out, hanging out with his brothers, and there's no brotherly love. They throw him in a pit, and they sell him off. Uncertainty, right? He goes and he has to live in prison, and yet then he becomes, God, through God's grace, he becomes the second most powerful person in Egypt. You think of King David. He has to wait to get his kingship, his anointing, and yet he becomes king, and things are going well, and God is pleased with him for a lot of the things that he's doing, and yet then he gets to this place, and he wakes up in the midst of this, and one of his sons, one of his boys, is trying to take over his throne, Like, uncertainty is all through the text. You have the Apostle Paul called by what he thought was God, and yet he's thrown off a horse, and God comes, and the person of Jesus, and he kind of changes that thing, and yet Paul thought he was doing God's work, and then all of a sudden, in this midst of this, he meets Jesus, and it changes his life. And then all was well for Paul, right? No. He's shipwrecked. He goes to prison. And uncertainty is always there and always apart. If we take the Christmas narrative that we just looked at, you have this young lady, Luke chapter 1, and we often think of this wonderful story and this wonderful moment where the angel comes. And in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, it talks about this moment where Mary was greatly troubled. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Here's her uncertainty. How will this be? Mary asked the angel. Since I am a virgin, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. Verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. The Bible says that Mary was perplexed. She was troubled. She wondered how this would be. What did this mean? The future was completely different than what she expected. She expected to probably live a simple life with her husband, Joseph. And everything changed in that moment. Everything became uncertain in that moment. Everything was different in that moment. She was going to have the Son of God, the Savior of the world. What would it be like? Is he going to come and be weird, right? Like, this is Jesus. Is it going to be weird? Is this going to be, how do I do this? I'm not worthy of this task. How will Joseph react? How will his family react? All of those things have to be running through her mind, because in that moment, life changed. It wasn't a certainty path. It was something different. When we're faced with uncertainty, what it forces us to do is ask questions. What will this mean for my family? What will this mean for me? Mary in this thing is not in control, right? She's not in control. And yet she says something very interesting. After she realizes she's really not in control, hey, how is this going to be? What's going to happen? And she says, I'm the Lord's servant. I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. In the midst of uncertainty, you're faced with the reality that we're not in control. She wasn't in control of that situation. And as humans, we want to desperately be in control. I want to be in control. You want to be in control. And our first reaction is to say, I will recover. I will get out of this. That's just our natural gut reaction, right? Like we're going to make through. We're going to be okay in the midst of this. And yet the reality in this story, it changes the trajectory of her life in a good way. And for all of eternity is a good way that it changed, but it changed. And there's tons of uncertainty in the midst of this. I think this is the moment and the picture that she has of like, I'm just the Lord's servant. I'm going to walk through this. I'm going to do this, even though I'm afraid and I'm scared. I think it's the moment when we realize that we're not in control, and she realized that we become more human, because all of a sudden we go, okay, who is in control? It's God. I am weak, and yet he is strong. His grace is sufficient for me. And so when we walk into this year, there is just this uncertainty of what's going to happen. Now, with that in mind, if you turn over to Revelation 21, it gives us a picture of what God is preparing. It gives us a picture of certainty. And it says this, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne, said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of water of life. In this passage, what is God working toward? He's working toward this place where we don't worry about who's in control. He is in the midst of it, and we're living in the midst of his control. All things are new. The world is not broken anymore. The world is connected. It's a beautiful passage of him sitting on the throne, which is always what is was supposed to be, is God being on the throne, God being in control. And that is where we're headed, and that's what God is working toward in this new heaven, in this new earth, where we live not in uncertainty, but we live in certainty. It's a beautiful picture. But the reality is, we're not there yet, right? That's a promise, that's a truth, that is coming. This certainty is coming. But for now, we live in the midst of this uncertainty. And so what do we do? Well, let's go back to Paul once again, because he tells us kind of how we are supposed to live in the midst of uncertainty. He's speaking to a church, and he's speaking to the church, and Paul is speaking at the time of the Roman Empire. And we know, and many of you know, if you've read some history of that, Nero's in charge. Nero is an emperor who did not like Christianity. He tried to blame them for everything. He was a little off in his thinking. He's writing to a church in the midst of this that has been scattered and pushed out to this place. He's writing to people. These are real people who have lived through some really rough things. There's propaganda against them. There's people that don't like them. There's injustice that's happening. Think about these people that he's writing to, who are whose neighbors probably think that they burned down Rome, whose businesses were ruined, and they want somebody to blame. They hate them, and Nero has done this and pushed this. There's this tension and this uncertainty about their lives in the midst of this. Paul, at this time, he's living in this place where he is probably not going to live a whole long time. He's struggling through some of this stuff in his own life, and if Nero has his way, the church will not exist. And this is what he writes. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Paul's instruction is this: rejoice, the Lord is near. In the midst of uncertainty, don't be sucked into the same sense of like gloom and doom as everyone else. Because we know who's in control. We do know who's in control. God hasn't gone anywhere, and that's a good promise. Don't let uncertainty impact your character. And that's what he says in there. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. He's saying, hey, don't let this affect your character. Some of us have anxiety or we're anxious. He says, be anxious for nothing. Paul has some power in his words in the midst of this as he's speaking this, because this is coming from a guy who is looking at his own death. He's looking at uncertainty in his life. And he says, man, don't be distracted by the cares or the fears. He says, but this, and this is the strong contrast in this, but in everything let your requests be known to God. Paul, I don't think, is talking about little prayers here. He's going, man, these are the heart, these are the depths that are going on in the midst of this. I want you to give those things to God. He's talking about deep emotional time of prayer, when things are just uncertain. Bring those to the table. He's talking about crying out to God. He's talking about, this moment in your time where you're just kind of scared. There's fear. There's uncertainty. And he's saying, hey, you get on your knees and you pray. And why does he do that? Because God does know everything. Why does he do it? Why does he say, hey, you get on your knees, you begin to pray? It forces us to verbalize what's going on inside. By prayer and by supplication, with thanksgiving, going, man, God, here's my request. Here's the things that are going on. But I'm just thankful about these things over here. What is it doing? It's pushing us toward trust. It's pushing us toward realization. It's pushing us to this place of going, man, we are weak, but you are strong. My grace is sufficient for you. This mystery of these requests isn't so that God knows this. The idea isn't to inform God, but it's to discover what is really going on inside of you, to verbalize that to God, to unearth where your heart is at. Uncertainty? What happens in uncertain times? Planes going, fear happens almost immediately, right? Fear explored can reveal our deepest desires. What do we really want? What are we really actually praying for? And to give those deep requests to God. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of in 2023? What's going on in your life? What are those things that are, maybe it's for your family, maybe it's for your reputation, maybe it's for your future, maybe something's just going on and just it's just a struggle. But as you present those things, unpacking those things and going, God, this is really what I'm asking. In your prayers of uncertainty, it's really a prayer of going, God, I need you. I need you. This is us placing God in his rightful place. That Revelation passage where he says he's on the throne, it's placing him there now. And then it says that there is a result to that. And the result of this prayer, the result of us giving this thing is peace, which passes every thought in our minds. It transcends human understanding, it says. It makes no sense to have peace when nothing has changed. But it's this peace that God gives. It's peace grounded that we don't need to be the ones in control, but he is the one in control. And what does peace do? It guards our hearts. It protects our hearts and our minds and our emotions and our thoughts. When the circumstances and the pressures grab your attention, there is peace available, right? You're not all knotted up. When things take you by surprise, there's peace. It's an inside thing that sets us apart on the outside, right? Like that even though all this stuff is going on, there's this ability to go, okay, God, okay, I'm going to trust you. Prayer isn't about necessarily changing things. Prayer is about us being changed. Changed to trust the Father with the things only he can control. Changed so that we are free from decisions that will only complicate our lives. When we're scared, we make some bad choices sometimes, right? We make some less than wise choices. Change because we have placed it into God's hands that only God can handle what we're giving him. It's not something that we have to. God's hands are capable of that and trusting that. Sometimes I find, I don't know, for me, I find prayer lonely. You're kind of by yourself, it feels like. It's quiet, and the seatbelt sign has come on, and yet there's this desperateness that's in my heart, this desperate need for God to show up. And I have found that time and time again, when I enter that place of the seatbelt sign's on, I'm a little bit scared, that when I enter that place, we're going, God, here I am. This is just where I'm. This is where my fears are. This is where the uncertainty lies for me. When I enter into that place, I will tell you that passage of scripture that says that there's peace that surpasses understanding is true. There's peace that comes. And then after that peace comes, I have the ability to think about the things that are noble, that are right, that are pure, that are lovely, that are admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. And what does that continue to do to my heart? It begins to change it. It begins to give me hope again. It begins to release me from whatever that uncertainty is that's holding me and captivating my thoughts into a different place. And so on this New Year's Eve, I just want you to take a moment and close your eyes and open your hands and just receive what God has for you. And this is a peace that passes all understanding as we just lay our fears and our uncertainties to Him. So I want to just give you a moment to do that as we start this new year. God, as we come on this eve of a new year, we're excited about the possibilities. And some of the uncertainty is just there for some of us. Some of us have seen the uncertainty that is already in front of us. Some of us haven't seen it yet. And yet, God, we just want to confess those things that are holding our hearts, not as sin, but it just as a reality of our weakness as humans. God, you are good. And when we are weak, you are strong. When we are weak, you are powerful. God, I just ask that as we walk into this new year, that we would walk in with peace, knowing you are the one who sits on the throne. You are the one who is in control. We don't have to drive the plane. But when those times come where the seatbelt signs come on, God, that we can come to you, that we can hear from you. And in the midst of our fears, in the midst of our struggles, that you're with us and that we trust you. God, we ask that our hearts would be attuned to what Mary said, that we are your servants. Let it be, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.